This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
If you want to build that wall with Mexico, the administration has published the specs. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. U.S. Customs and Border Protection is now accepting proposals from contractors who want to build a wall along the border with Mexico for the federal government, as promised by President Trump. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is here to tell us more. Mariel, what is the federal government asking for here?
Customs and Border Protection put out two calls for proposals. One is for a concrete wall. The other is for a wall made of something else. Hasn't been decided yet. Specifically, the request says the wall needs to be physically imposing. The government suggests 30 feet tall, and it won't even consider anything less than 18 feet.
And it says it should look nice?
Yeah, it says the U.S.-facing side of the wall needs to be, quote, aesthetically pleasing in color and in its texture, so it fits with the surrounding environment. Doesn't seem to say anything about the looks of the Mexican side. The wall also needs to be difficult to scale. It needs to have barriers for at least 6 feet underground to make it harder for anyone to dig a tunnel. And the government says the wall should be so strong that you can't punch a hole in it, even using something like a sledgehammer, without hacking away for at least 30 minutes.
Or a blowtorch, apparently. Now, next steps here?
There have been reports of some companies bidding over the weekend, but the government's accepting proposals until March 29th. This is still very much in the planning phase, though. We learned last week that the president's budget proposal sets aside $4 billion to start off the project, but one report from Reuters estimates the wall could cost at least $21 billion.
All right. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you very much. Despite the Trump administration's push for coal, Nevada just went dramatically in the other way. On the day after it pulled the plug on a coal-fired power plant, it cut the ribbon on a new solar energy farm. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
Nevada's new solar plant will make the same amount of energy as the shuttered coal plant. They're 15 miles apart, by the way. The utility that owns the coal plant actually closed it early for business reasons. Coal is often uncompetitive with cheap natural gas, says Catherine Wolfram at UC Berkeley's Energy Institute.
Natural gas prices, because of fracking, have come down. And I do think there's heightened sensitivity to the environmental impacts of coal.
In this case, a native group known as the Moapa Band of Paiute Indians sued the coal plant over pollution, getting a $4 million settlement. As for the utility company, its move to solar makes sense to former Nevada energy regulator Rebecca Wagner.
If coal is out of the money and you have access to low-cost renewable resources, that's a good transition for a business model for a utility.
Cheap renewables plus state policies have many analysts thinking the U.S. can meet its clean power goals. And that holds true even if the federal clean power regulation gets axed in D.C. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Also today, we talked to a contractor bidding for a chance to build the wall with Mexico, now that specifications for that project are online. If you missed that on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org. When people make donations to homeless shelters, beyond money, it's often used clothes. But for women in shelters, there are other essential needs that people tend not to donate. Courtney Collins from KERA in Dallas reports on a grassroots effort to help women in shelters get what they need.
It's not your typical homeless shelter drop-off. Thank you.
Got it.
Forget coat drives. The Center of Hope Shelter in Dallas is getting a pickup truck full of tampons, maxi pads, and bras.
36 big.
This grassroots effort, called Support the Girls, started in Maryland. Founder Dana Marlowe, who's visiting the program in Texas, was out shopping for new bras and asked her salesperson what she should do with her old ones.
And she said, homeless women need bras. And I was like, oh my God, I'm living under a rock. How did I not know this?
So Marlowe donated her own bras, then put out a plea on social media. And now?
We have donated over 85,000 bras and over 400,000 menstrual hygiene products. Those are maxi pads and tampons.
Which are items rarely donated to homeless shelters. Even at a discount store, a box of off-brand tampons costs about $3. For most women, that will add up to about $51 a year. And that's a lot for someone like 27-year-old Annie Moore.
That would be one of the last things, bras and hygiene stuff. And I would be trying to give my kids something to eat or something.
She's been living at the Center of Hope shelter with her four children since September. She dreams of her own apartment and going to nursing school. Most of all, she craves independence.
You wake up, you notice your hair, and it's hard to take in a lot of the times, but make it through.
Center of Hope case manager Tina Williams says undergarments and hygiene products aren't just practical.
It just builds your self-esteem. You're able to say, hey, I got this. What woman want to walk around like that, uncomfortable?
When women arrive at the shelter, Williams says, they already have enough to worry about.
Loss of job, nowhere to stay. They have 3 to 4 to 5 children. Just broken women.
Support the Girls says it's made donations to 155 shelters in more than 80 cities. In Dallas, I'm Courtney Collins for Marketplace.
And Google's got a problem with its YouTube business. Some big advertisers in Europe are pulling out of YouTube after ads keep showing up next to extremist videos. Over the weekend, the head of Google in Europe apologized for this, even as the big British retailer Marks & Spencer pulled out. Audi, the BBC, and L'Oreal already quit. With all the technical wizardry that Google has, it still has trouble vetting the estimated 400 hours of video content that gets posted to YouTube each and every minute. The system relies on users to flag objectionable stuff, which is then reviewed. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.